good to be with you today. Just wanted to give us a little break there and get up. And you know what? I understand that we're an hour behind because of the time frame. So everybody's stomach's kind of going, right? Is that going on? Is that going on with any of you? You know, so, you know, your pastor really does care about his church family, you know, what's going on in the practical of life. And so I already had planned and worked on this, it being only 30 minutes long. So I'm going to work through that and we'll get out of here on time. But we have a very practical and important message to go through in God's Word today, to be impacted in our heart and soul. I'm going to preach on hope again. Let me just tell you a little bit about that. Before I have you turn to our text this morning, I'll not continue on the study of 1 Thessalonians for the next mark of the Lord's church in the study is a transformed life. And I didn't want to hurry through it on a Sunday like this. And as I worked on it, I think it's going to take me 2 Sundays for us to really get through that message thoroughly. And next Sunday, I'm at the men's retreat. So then in my heart and mind, man, I get so disconnected. And in my understanding and how God works in my life, the Word of God is not disconnected at all. There is no, here's a message, here's something to learn. It is all continual revelation of God that fits together. And I'm always teaching in that way and working in that way. Because in my mind, that's how God speaks to me about how the flow of His Word and this understanding. So I wasn't going to do that. So I'll continue to teach on the subject last week of hope, and which ended up being our communion focus also today. So open your Bibles to Romans chapter 16 with me. Romans chapter 16, that's the last chapter in the book of Romans. We're going to look at the last 3 verses in that. We're going to look at verses 25 through 27. Open your Bibles there with me. Go ahead and grab your outline, follow along. You can put some notes down and see those, and you can look up some more scriptures later to see this incredible hope that we have. I mean, we should be hoped thoroughly today. I'm serious, really. No, I mean, just because of what God says in His Word and the difficulty we have. Do you know there's hope for every situation in life? Nothing is hopeless. Nothing. According to Jesus Christ, according to the preaching of Christ, according to the revelation of God's Word, nothing's hopeless. It's all in the providence of God's will, what God will do, but through Christ there is hope. There is always hope. There never is not hope. Look at chapter 16, verse 25 through 27, with your outlines there, entitled, A Message, The Hope of All Hope. Here in the Apostle Paul's concluding words is a doxology. Let's read it. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept for long ago, for long ages past, but now is manifested and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all nations, leading to obedience of faith to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ be the glory forever. Amen. Like I said, this is a doxology that speaks of the hope for every circumstance. The hope for every fallen man, the hope for a fallen nation, the hope for every struggling believer. It's the hope of all hope. Sometimes in scriptures, near the end of the book, is a doxology, which is what this is. So what is a doxology? It's a short hymn or song of praise to God's truth. The reason that they occur in scriptures, the writer is sort of overwhelmed by God's truth that was just communicated. So they break into an inspired praise of the whole of that truth. Romans is that kind of book. The Apostle Paul ends Romans with a doxology, praising God for what he has done and can do through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the focus of Romans, isn't it? The doctrines of salvation and the new life you have in salvation. In-depth study, we went through it. It took us 5 years in this church to get through Romans that way. And at the end here, Paul accumulates it all in this doxology, this little hymn of what God has done and can do through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our hope. The depth of salvation found in Jesus Christ, the truth of His saving work that can change, rescue, restore, save sinners, that can change, rescue, restore, save all things. That's the book of Romans. That's why I named it all, Hope of All Hope. Because of the transforming work of the gospel, because of the way of Christ for us, because of the truth of God's word, there is hope in and through all things. We read the passage. And as we begin to see the hope from this text, I want to recall to your mind what Paul said in Romans 3. You can turn there with me. From all hope that anything can be changed and anything can be rescued, anything can be restored, saved, made new, anything can happen because of the hope of Christ. Turn to chapter 3, verse 10 of Romans. I want you to recall to your mind as we begin to see the hope here. This is where God begins to teach us the truth about salvation. He says in chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There's none who does good. There's not even one. He's talking about humanity. He's not talking about bad people. He's talking about you and me. What that says is that man, that all humanity, had no righteousness of their own and had no hope to be accepted by God through their own righteousness. What's it going to happen? Isn't possible? In verse 19 and 20, Paul said that humanity, in all of its efforts to keep God's law, to honor God's way, he can't do it. So no one will be justified in God's sight. No one, through their own efforts. No one. It seems pretty hopeless, doesn't it? Except for the truths of Christ taught in Romans. They are all summed up in these final words from Romans 16, which say, God is able to establish you. God is able to establish you according to the gospel, according to the preaching of Christ, according to God's revealed truth that leads to obedience of faith for the glory of God. God is able to establish you. God is able to establish you in salvation, in this walk with Christ, in this new way of his word, in obedience of faith for the glory of God. God can do it all. You recognize already what your part is. You recognize in your relationship with God and Christ in you, you recognize that obedience of faith is part of the deal here, that God rescues, delivers, saves, changes, gives all hope to all situations. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. I just taught Romans an incredible doctrine of salvation. And it's by grace alone. Yep, God's done it, and God can do that, but God will rescue all things or establish all things according to the gospel, according to the preaching of Christ, according to the God's revealed truth in obedience of faith for the glory of God. Let me ask you, could you tell that to anyone that is hopeless and that be the hope for them? Can you tell that to the guy on the street that's homeless, that's on drugs, that's tweaked out? Can you tell that to a marriage that's broken? Can you tell that to somebody that's distraught? Can you tell that to anybody and everybody that, you know what, God can establish you according to the gospel, according to the preaching of Christ, according to his revealed word, that would lead someone to obey God in faith for God's glory? God can change everything. Is that not true? Is it true in your life? Is it true in your life? Are you experiencing that? Is that your relationship with God? Is that your life in union with Christ? If that's what's happening, you have all hope. Because God is able to establish. Let me just urge you to hear this clearly, what God's word is saying. For the answer, the hope for our world, the answer, the hope for our fallen nation, the answer, the hope for our corrupt government. This is the answer to every broken heart, every rebellious heart, every deceived heart. This is the answer to every lost soul, and it's the answer and hope to our hearts also. It is the answer to every struggling believer, every discouraged Christian, every troubled marriage, every broken Christian relationship, every difficult circumstance. It's the hope of all hope. It's the answer of God. It's the provision of God to give us hope and answer to the things in our life. It's God. This is what he's talking about. This is his observation. This is what he comes in. He just taught it, and now he's so overwhelmed, he just declares it. In our first observation of the text, we notice God's word said God is able to establish you. You see that there in the text, verse 25? We notice God's word says that. He's able to establish you. Establish, sterizo in the Greek, means to set fast, to fix firmly. Paul is referring to God's ability. According to the gospel, according to the preaching of Christ, according to God's revealed truth, to be able to set fast, to fix firmly, to establish you in God's rescue, you in God's forgiveness, you in God's redemption, you in God's salvation, you in God's new way of life for you. That's key. For God is able to establish, to fix firmly you in strength and perseverance in the struggle, you in encouragement over discouragement. He can fix you firmly in the ways of life for you. He can establish you in a reconciled marriage, a restored relationship, in a contentment in all circumstances. He can establish you in the life that he has for you. That's what Romans taught. It's all what God can do through Christ and the saving work and the life we have in him. He's just overwhelmed, and he's just the truth of the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of God's word obeyed by faith brings rescue, resource. God establishes God's way in you. You get that? That's the hope that we all have. That's the hope the world needs to hear. According to the gospel, according to the truth of Christ, God's revealed word, God is able to rescue all things according to his will for his glory, right? Romans 14:4 says, the Lord is able to make you stand and you will stand. That's the idea of establish. Christians, in your life, God is setting firm your faith and the ability to follow Christ and honor his word. Is he not? Come on, is he not? Well, you're not following Christ. You're not in obedience to the faith. You're not loving the Lord. You're not walking this life God has for you if he's not establishing your faith, your ability to follow Christ and honor his word, because that's what God is doing. 1 Peter 5:10 says this, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. What do you think? Those are words that might happen? They're happening in every believer's life. Some more, some less, some struggle, some fight. I get it. But God declared that he's going to establish, and there's all hope in the truth of Christ, the rescue of Christ, the gospel of Christ, and the truth of his revealed word. 2 Peter 1:12 says, I am always ready to remind you of God's truth, even though you have been established in the truth. God is able to set forth his truth of Jesus Christ and our life in him in your heart and mind totally. Chapter 3, verse 17, Peter calls it a steadfastness in the truth. God is able to give you a steadfastness in the truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, God's word says this, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved completely without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Do you think that's going to come to pass? Your sanctification, you're to be himself to sanctify you entirely and to preserve you completely until the coming of the Lord. God declared faithful as he will do it. He's going to sanctify your life. Every believer's life, he's working on sanctification. God declared, I'm able to set sanctification on your life. God is able through his saving work to rescue anything, a life, a marriage, a relationship, a nation. Here in 1 Thessalonians, God is able through his saving work in your life to set firmly in the sanctification journey of your life a steadfastness of truth, a faith and ability to follow Christ and honor his word. That distinctiveness of his truth, that the God of the Bible is able to establish you by obedience of faith, what more hope do you want for humanity? Is there any more hope for humanity? We need a different president. What's that going to establish? We need the Lord Jesus Christ to pierce the hearts of the truth of the hearts of the people of this nation toward the gospel. Amen? Amen. So we're going to give our effort and our time and our focus and living in a certain way because that's the hope of the world. There isn't any other hope. Yes, I wish it was a different administration. But gosh darn it, we're not in charge of that. God is, and by God's sovereign hand, he's bringing about salvation and sanctification in the midst of whatever's going on. And it's our hope. It's the hope of everything. We got to lift up our heads. We got to see the hope that God has given us. If God is for us, who's against us? Anybody want to give me a name? We're more worried about this earthly, temporal, comfortable life than about eternity. I get it. So am I. That's why we're here, for God to help us. What a hope we have in Jesus Christ. Nothing we are involved in is hopeless. We need to know that in our heart and mind. That's what God's word says. Paul explains, or better yet states, it's according to the gospel. Look at verse 25. Look what he said. Now he's able to establish you according to my gospel. According, that's the word kata in the Greek, means down from. Here, down from God through the gospel, down from God through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, obeyed by faith, God's able to establish you in rescue, deliverance, redemption, salvation. Whatever situation, whatever calamity, whatever lostness, whatever relationship is going on that is there that cannot be rescued through faith in the gospel, nothing. There's always hope. There's always hope. And in the life of the believer, God is able to set you firmly in the steadfastness of the truth. You know, that's something I get really kind of bugged about when meeting with Christians, that kind of thing, and they're just really having a hard time getting set steadfast in the truth of God's word. It's like an argument goes on. You know, and people that counsel, people that preach, teach, that kind of thing, what do you think, we're up here making something up and that kind of thing, trying to share the truth of who God is, why he came, what he did, and the truth that sets you free, the truth that in obedience of faith changes everything, and they want to argue that God isn't saying that. That spirit is not the Lord. That spirit isn't from God. That's not Christ in you. That's not what God's doing in your life. It's obedience of faith to the truth, not to what we feel, think, or act like. God is able to set you firmly in the steadfastness of truth. He can set anybody firmly in the steadfastness of truth that know the Lord and want the Lord to be in their life. God is able to establish you in faith and ability to follow Christ and honor his word. For you are already established in sanctification's journey that happened the moment you were saved for every true believer. That's hope. That's hope for a wandering child. That's hope for the difficult boss. That's hope for the struggling things. It's hope. That's what God needs to give us, hope, always hope. What Christian marriage, what kind of discernment or discouragement or what kind of Christian relationship or what kind of discontentment cannot change by obedience of faith. There's always hope. That's why Paul says, God sets you firmly according to the preaching of Christ. Let me give you just one. Turn to Romans 10 with me. Let me just share a little bit about what the preaching of Christ, what he's talking about. Romans 10, verse 8 through 13. Turn there with me real quick. Oh, I got time. You can tell I'm excited. Right, but I'm always excited about God's word, God's truth, and then when specifically it's about something really just ministers to our heart, brings some things to our heart that we need to hear, that we need hope. You need hope? I mean, we can get discouraged in this world. How about you? Or we can ignore it like nothing's going on. Well, you know what? You're going to need to hear this later because you can't ignore this for that long. Romans 10, look at it with me, verses 8 through 13. Look at what God's word is saying, the preaching of Christ Jesus. Paul writes, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching. He's preaching Jesus Christ, right? Faith in him, love him, surrender your life to him, right? Give your life to Christ. He's Lord and Savior. He's preaching the gospel, right? That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in the riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Get what he says here. That's what Paul says, what he's talking about. Who is the Lord? Who is the authority of your life right now? Come on, give me the answer. Dad. Nope, it's not dad. Unless you're unsaved, then it is dad. Who's the authority of your life right now? Who did you confess with your mouth for the rest of this life? There's an authority, a Lord of your life that dictates how you live, what you do, what you live for. That's a Christian. That's a believer in Christ. There is no other way. There is no other choice. You can be a rebellion against it. You can say, well, you know, I'm just having a hard time. I get all of that. But who's the Lord of all that believe? Who will bow to as him as the Lord at the end of all of this? Who? Every knee will bow, right? He's the Lord of all. He's the Lord of creation, the Lord of everything. He's the authority of our life. He's the Lord of the church. So listen to what Paul said, preaching of Christ. Listen to what he says. Jesus is the Lord of your life. That's your confession and your salvation. Yes, Savior, yet he's Lord. And your life now is in union with the Lord. The Lord of all the universe. That was totally clear from Scripture the last 3 weeks. So the preaching of Christ as your Lord, the preaching of Christ as your life in union with Him, the preaching of Christ Jesus as the way of life for you, the whole truth of sanctification becoming more and more like Christ, the preaching of the Christ-like way for you, so God is able to establish you, to set you firmly in the life you live by obedience of faith to Christ as your Lord, obedience of faith that your life is now in union with Him, obedience of faith that His way of life is becoming more and more your way of life. That is able to rescue whatever God needs to rescue. That's what God is teaching. The problem, what's the problem, guys? Obedience of faith.
We don't consistently do it.
The problem is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. We still have the flesh that doesn't want to go God's way. And we try to listen to it, try to listen to people that preach to it, that tell the flesh, you're here to be self-gratified. That's a lie from the devil. Tell them to shut up. You have to deny yourself, take up the cross, follow Christ. The one who denies your flesh. Should I go get Darth Vader from the room? I still have him. I'm never going to get rid of him. This is the truth of God's word. This is what it is. You meet with people. You talk with people. You got all hope. No, I don't. You know, because God won't change it according to the way. Well, God changes everything. Every single thing. He changes me all the time. He is able to set you firmly in the path of sanctification. You're to love like Jesus, Ephesians 5. You're to forgive like Him, Colossians 3. You're to embrace being conformed to His image, Romans 8. You're to walk like He walked, 1 John 2. Do you see and realize the hope no matter the circumstances you're in? Do you see the hope? Come on, church, you see the hope?
Yes.
Let me just take one illustration. And it's an easy one because this is, you know, we've all been there. And God's worked through there, and we could all give testimonies of rocky marriage. Two Christians struggling in their marriage relationship. Here's God's word. According to the gospel, you have new life. According to the preaching of Christ, you have a Lord to honor, and you have a Savior that your life is in union with, and you have a life to live to seek after becoming Christ-like. That marriage, in obedience of faith, responding to God's word, God is able to establish a godly marriage. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care. Because He's way more powerful than our sin, than our selfishness, our messed up mind, our rebellious heart, our we don't even compare, you guys. But He doesn't do it beyond you. Because He gave you new life and says, you choose to love Me with the new life I gave you. And you don't love God when you don't do that. Period. I mean, there's no like, oh, well, I do over here. No, you don't love God. You don't love God, but God says this is the way of life, and you dishonor Him with the way you treat people, the way you do your job, the integrity, the way you have a marriage, you just dishonor God. And He's not here to work it all out for your benefit and to make it all happen in this earthly life. It will in heavenly life. He's here to sanctify you. You got to change. I got to change. We all got to change. God is in the business of changing us. And we all hope we can change and He can restore and rescue a nation, our nation where it is right now. And the government that's in control through the gospel, through the preaching of Christ and God's revealed truth in His word, God could change all that. Will He? I wouldn't make any bets on it. But I'm going to pray for it. And I'm going to live according to what God wants me to live, because if He wants to use me and do anything like that and save people and rescue people that are in despair, that are being led by the father of lies, that their minds have been deceived and corrupted and depraved. I'm here for you, Lord, because you know what? That was me. You rescued me. That's who we all are apart from Christ. Amen? God is able to establish. This is true in all circumstances of life. According to His will He? That's up to Him. Because God is able to establish you according to God's truth revealed. That's verse 25 through 26. I won't read it, but listen. It's the truth of the new life you have in Christ. You have a new life. It's according to His revelation of God's word being revealed. That's what it's being. Listen, I got to read it, verse 25. It's according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested in by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations. The truth of your new life in Christ was manifested, made known. It was a mystery that Christ would save you, rescue you, deliver you, give you new life in Christ. Let me give you just one passage. Turn to Colossians 1 with me. Let me just give you one passage on the truth that was revealed, that was the mystery that's now not hidden anymore, that the Old Testament people didn't see. It didn't come till Christ came. Here it is. God can establish anything through the revelation of his word. The truth of what was hidden is now revealed. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 and following. Here Paul is describing the ministry he does by God's calling. Listen to what he says. Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what's lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church, that's the whole church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. Now, God bestowed that on him, the proclaiming of God's word, God's truth, now revealed about Jesus Christ and the new life that we have in him. That wasn't known before. It wasn't about he's going to come and live and die and be resurrected, and we were going to get a new life in him, and our life was going to be in him, and all of that. Look at verse 26. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. That's you. Manifested, made visible. Manifested, made real, made apparent, made understood. Christ came, lived, and died on a lived and then was crucified and died and was raised again to bring new life, to give you forgiveness of your sin, to bring new life, life in him, in union with him. That was manifested to those that believe. It was manifested by God. That's what it says. That's the text. That mystery was revealed to you in your salvation. God revealed it to you through the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, the preaching of God's revelation. Verse 27 says, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. God willed to make it known to you. What is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's last week's message. I can't preach another 40 minutes on what that is. All of the hope of the promise shared glory we have with Christ, in which God cannot lie, promised to us. Let me ask you, is God able to set you firmly to live this life in Christ, for Christ, no matter the circumstance, because of the hope that awaits us? Yes or no? Because we're heirs of Christ, we're glorified with him. The life character that we will be just like him. We'll get a new body that's like his, a new heaven and earth, no sin, no sorrow, complete salvation by God's revelation revealed to you. God willed that make to known to us. Absolutely, just the hope that awaits can fix us firmly in the life God wants us to live. What a song to sing, huh? What a song to sing. The hope of all hope. Turn back to Romans 16 with me as we conclude. Look at the end of verse 26. Leading to obedience of the faith. There's the hope for our world today, for our lives today. It's always been the hope. God pierces your heart with the truth of the gospel. You believe in him. You believe in Christ. Believe in, repent, turn away from your sin. It's the obedience of faith. That's the hope that we all have. We can hope. We can pray to God and ask him to change things. We can pray and ask God to do things and work in a marriage and save our kids and those kind of things, you know. But the hope that we have is obedience of the faith to live according to the gospel, live according to the preaching of Christ, live according to the mystery that was manifested, Christ in me, the hope of glory. My life is now in union with Christ. I got all hope. I'm going to do that. God can establish anything that he is at work establishing through those things. He doesn't establish them through other things. That's why this church and all of Christ's church focus should be on preaching and teaching and sharing the gospel, the preaching of Christ, the revelation of God's word, centered, for that's the only hope that we have. There's nothing else to talk about. Nothing. Nothing else is going to give you perseverance. Nothing's going to bring proven character to your life. Nothing's going to change anything in your life, marriage, friendship, job, anything. It's going to be God's word, God's truth, Christ, and Christ alone. Amen? Amen. And any preacher with a salt won't get off of it. The gospel, Christ's life, God's word leads to obedience of faith. That's the only thing that leads to obedience of faith. Because only by the preaching of Christ and only by God's word do we even know what we're to be obedient to. Through which God is able to establish. Let me ask you, will God rescue, redeem, forgive, give new life, salvation, sanctification, Christian living, and change everything and anything? Will God do that?
Yes.
Absolutely, by his will, right? Discouragement to encouragement, anxiety to peace, discontentment to contentment, fear to love's courage, animosity to heaven's harmony. From no hope to all hope. Look at verse 27. Look at verse 27. Thank you for your word to us today, Lord. I've been so encouraged this week. I just had to tell the Lord I was thankful. My heart's just overflowing with the goodness of God this morning. Verse 27, to the only wise God through Jesus Christ be the glory forever. Amen. God's wisdom is why it is that. It is this way. God's wisdom. It's no other way. By God's wisdom, it's this way. When you fight it, you're saying you're wiser than God. Not a good place to be. We're ignorant. Period. God's wisdom, that our only hope is Jesus Christ, his life, his way, his truth for us, leading to obedience of faith. All for the glory of God. Can you fathom that in God's wisdom, for God's glory, he has given us all hope in the gospel, in Jesus Christ, in his revealed truth, in his word, where we are established by God in that hope, in the life he desires for us by obedience of faith. Can you fathom the wisdom of God? No wonder it says, the cross of Christ is foolishness to those that are perishing. But it's the power of God to those he's saving. Because in the wisdom of God, this is how it is. This is how we're to live. This is how we're to be obedient. This is how we're to follow. This is how we have all hope in all of this, but by the wisdom of God, that's the only place that it is. My hope, your hope, is that God will firmly fix you in Christ and his way of life for you and what God desires for you as you obey God's word. Do you know there's hope for our world? There's hope for our nation. According to God's will, what's going to come about that? But there's hope for our community. There's hope for our families, our lives. That hope is the truth of Christ lived and shared. The hope of glory that's in you. The hope of all hope. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are overwhelmed this morning just with your truth and just the hope that we have. And I know in our hearts, all of us here sometimes fall into despair and see the change that's going on. And we don't think there's any hope that life isn't going to get harder, but that's not the hope that we're really talking about. That's more of wishes and wants. The hope that we have is that God can work in our life to establish our lives in the sanctification work, to be a testimony, a strong testimony of the saving work of Jesus Christ. Our hope is that in eternity, all that with our inheritance and heirs of God and all of that, all those are promised, those are ours there. The hope that we have here is that you can work in and amongst our lives, rescue, transform, sanctify anything and everything that will just decide obedience of faith for your glory. We all need you, Lord. We all know that we're dependent upon you. We all in our hearts know that, man, that was for my own glory. Oh, that was for my own recognition. Oh, that was for what I wanted in this life. You're at work in all of that. You know our humanity. It doesn't make you afraid. It just makes you focused from your word to pierce our hearts with the truth we need to hear. We need to hear this today. We need the hope that you have for us to stand fast and firm with courage in the midst of the life that you've given us, to be a strong testimony for people to be saved, for people to grow and mature, and for marriages to be strong, and for relationships to be worked out and healthy. Yes, there's a benefit to us, but the point is your glory. Make us that, Lord. Make us that. In Christ's name, amen. We are dismissed today.